All right, Chris Meyer heads up the Baton Rouge Area Foundation. He joins us now. Chris, welcome back. How are you, sir?
Hey, Brian. Good morning. Great. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. Okay, so you and I have talked in the past about this train, this $20 million, an unexpected $20 million windfall. Not Braff's doing, but I know you're a proponent of it, so I figured I'd let you rip me to pieces on this. why is this a good thing?
Well, you know, first of all, a lot of credit to a lot of folks, including the foundation, my colleague John Spain, the governor of Louisiana, the mayor, legislators, and folks really throughout the super region between New Orleans and Baton Rouge. You know, look, I think the train has three really great opportunities for our state. I think number one, building better economic conditions around South Louisiana, particularly the super region. I think number two, for those listening right now, wouldn't it be awesome to not be parked in traffic, to have a different mode, a different option for transit back and forth? And then, you know, I think third, the reality is a large part of this and some of the money you just referenced is really about having another tool in our toolkit when it comes to evacuations, when it comes to emergencies. This lets us build for the future and have more options in our toolkit.
We are talking with Chris Meyer for the Baton Rouge Area Foundation about the way this came about was earlier this year, Louisiana reached a deal with the federal government to end a long, winding, and contentious battle over misspent grant money that was part of the Road Home program connected to Katrina and Rita back in 2005. Now, as part of the deal, Louisiana would only have to pay back $32.5 million worth of that to the Department of Housing and Urban Development. HUD, however, said we could hang on to $20.5 million. Chris, is this... I might be asking the wrong person on this one. We'll have Jerome Zizarang on next week, who might have the right, like a different answer. But this $20.5 million is not a windfall. It's just a lessening of the bill we have to pay, correct?
Yeah, look, my understanding is this is money that really we would have lost as a state right. and would have been, you know, not to our advantage. And I think, you know, credit to a lot of folks in the legislature and the governor's office that were figuring out how we could use this money, which was for very defined purposes. You know, and I think this has been really the pursuit of a lot of actors in the state is how do we take advantage of a lot of the one-time money that's out there. I mean, you know, look, I'm not necessarily a fan of the amount of, you know, federal spending we've got going on, but the reality is funds like these are going to end up in Texas, they're going to end up in Florida, they're going to end up in Mississippi. They might as well come here. And I think in this case, those dollars, really, this was one of the only things we were going to be able to spend it on. And we're trying to continue to sort of build the pie, if you will, to bring more resources to help make passenger rail a reality.
Chris Meyer from the Baton Rouge Area Foundation is our guest as we're talking about the potential and possibility of a train. All right, Chris, you've done a lot of work on this, and I know you're a big proponent of the train. After an initial bump in money, is it sustainable, or is this something where the government will be operating at a loss?
Yeah, I think you've got to think about rail in a couple different ways. I mean, you know, the reality is there's really only a few that are managed by Amtrak that on a sort of passenger and sales basis are profitable. But I think the bigger kind of viewpoint here is that you build passenger rail because it's building, like I said at the top, a different kind of infrastructure for our economy, for our transit solutions, and in our case, you know, for evacuations and for times of emergency. And so I think if you add up on the sort of benefit side of the ledger, I don't think you can just look at the individual passenger that's riding that train. I think you've got to think about, well, how does this open up new opportunities for business along the corridor? How does this allow for us to sort of spread out, to get some cars off of our interstate so we can flow a little faster, add some quality of life and other amenities? So I think there's a much bigger look at this. The good news is in the early going, as we kind of prove this thing out, and we're probably still, you know, 18 months, 2 years away from riding on a train, I think there's a lot of subsidies up front that we can take advantage of to kind of prove the concept. And I really think it's one of those things that you're building for the next 20 years, not the last 20 years.
All right, Chris, you mentioned new business along the way. Are you talking about filling in those gaps in between New Orleans and Baton Rouge there?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, part of some of the success mayors have had along the corridor in the super region, I know the city of Gonzales, city of Baton Rouge recently won, you know, tens of millions of dollars to help build new rail stations, new stops, to start to think about these new nodes that all of a sudden, you know, folks in Prairieville and Gonzales, that could, you know, boom other businesses and say, look, I can locate, you know, sort of near a train station. I can locate in a place that now, as folks get off that train, they don't have far to go to access kind of a new business. I think it just changes our mindsets about where we live and how we live. And ultimately, you know, it gives us another option that the rest of the world, quite frankly, is far ahead of us on.
We run into that chicken and egg situation. Well, maybe it's not a chicken and egg situation because that's a what comes first question. But if you're looking at a train from Baton Rouge to New Orleans, the appeal of it is, number one, reduction in traffic. Number two, not having to pay for parking in New Orleans. But number three, speed. The more new business, catch 22, not a chicken and egg, excuse me. This is the catch 22, is the more business you create along the way, the more stops you have along the way, the slower it's going to get you from Baton Rouge to New Orleans and back. So how do you work that balance to keep it optimal on both ends?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not an expert in train engineering or you know, how many stops, but I think this has really been forecast to have about, you know, 5 to 6 stops between downtown New Orleans and downtown Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. And so, again, you're really, when this thing is fully built, when we sort of finish the sort of work, because one of the major obstacles on this is completing the work on the Bonnie Carey Spillway, which we're applying for, again, one-time federal resources that if they don't come here, they're going somewhere else. We have to build these train stations, and we have to finish sort of the environmental studies around all this. But the reality here is that, you know, this thing really, once it is up and running and moving, I'm told it's really a, you know, no more than 90 minutes, including these stops. And again, you see this in other major cities, certain times of day. You've got hang on 1 second, Brian. We're saying goodbye in carpool line.
All right. Well, I tell you what, you take it on that end because we're going to shift gears. We'll get back to Chris Meyer in just a second. We're going to shift gears and talk about the Giving Store, the Baton Rouge Area Foundation launching the Giving Store. Pretty amazing work that Chris Meyer and the crew over at the Baton Rouge Area Foundation are doing. Check it out at braf.org, and you can search for the Giving Store from there. Look, the conversation about the train will continue when we talk with Jerome Z. Zerang. State Representative Zerang he chairs the Appropriations Committee. And when this was making its way through, from the Advocate article, where Sam Carlin wrote the Advocate article, it says, some Republicans in the legislature, though they approved the move at a hearing last week, are upset about the decision and say they should have been given an opportunity to evaluate projects that would better aid hurricane-prone parishes or beef up evacuations, which have long been a weak spot in southeast Louisiana's hurricane preparedness. Darden's argument, Commissioner of Administration Jay Darden, his argument, quote, sounds like a rationalization, a justification for a decision that was probably already made before it was presented publicly, says Z. Zerang. So that's what we'll pick up when Representative Zerang comes on with us next week. That's where we'll pick up the train conversation. For now, since we have Chris Meyer for a couple more minutes, let's talk about the Giving Store. Chris, we good?
Yeah, we're good. All
right, just making sure the kiddos got off okay. Hey, glad to hear you're behind the wheel this morning and not sitting at a bus stop waiting. By the way, EBR schools delayed for 2 hours today because of bus drivers calling in sick. That headline rolling across about 15 minutes ago. Go ahead.
Not touching that one this morning.
No, I wouldn't either. And the good news is you couldn't touch it if you wanted to because it's calling in a sick out. Let's talk about the Giving Store for just a minute. What is it? What was the idea behind it? And what does it look like in real life?
Yeah, so, you know, look, we as you mentioned at the Baton Rouge Area Foundation, we are all about bringing people and ideas together to create impact for our region, making a better Baton Rouge, a better South Louisiana. You know, one way that's so critical is we're such a generous community, and we have so many nonprofits that really are both filling in the gaps and leading big change in our communities. And so we came together. I know there's been a lot of emphasis on Giving Tuesdays or 225 Gives, and those are awesome kind of one-day events. We really wanted to make the sort of connection between donors, those who want to give at whatever amount they want to give, and sort of big projects that nonprofits are leading. We wanted to make that connection really seamless. So we've created a giving store that's open to anyone, any nonprofit, any donor that wants to give at any amount. And what you're able to do on this giving store, which is at our website, as you mentioned, braf.org, B-R-A-F.org, you can search projects that are active right now where nonprofits are sort of sharing key initiatives they have going on, the kind of impact they want to have. And so it really creates this almost sort of Amazon-like shopping place for doing good and giving to projects that are doing good. So we really wanted to encourage philanthropy. You know, we've got so many people that give regularly, their churches and other things. And so here's just another way that we're connecting the dots between those who want and can give with those that are making a great change in our community.
We got 2 minutes left with Chris Meyer from the Baton Rouge Area Foundation. Chris, so this is not meant in any way, shape, or form. This is not meant to neuter 225 Gives, right? I mean, the day of giving, the camaraderie, the teamwork, the rallying that goes into it, because there's a sense of urgency of making the most of those 24 hours, that's still going to be, correct?
Totally. And look, this year, you know, you're going to see us make another big push on Giving Tuesday, which you've got, you know, everyone worldwide really focusing on that first Tuesday after Thanksgiving to kind of highlight the sort of season of charity and giving and looking at other causes. And so, you know, we'll make extra emphasis on those kind of giving days. But, you know, we know people are giving all throughout the year, and we just wanted to use technology and new tools to make that easy and more regular and celebrate that. So, you know, the awesome thing on this site is you can really search projects by your area of interest. You can really get to know nonprofits that maybe you've never heard of that are out there doing really great work in our community. Earlier this year, we launched a Center for Nonprofit Excellence that was, you know, again, really designed to kind of highlight the change makers in our community and sort of elevate the causes that they're doing and doing good. And so here's a chance to really see the impact, what's being measured, how it's being measured, and then decide how do you want to give your dollars that we know folks are always being so charitable in our community with.
And it's pretty easily navigable as well. I was on it yesterday after we traded texts about you coming on. I'm digging it, man. It's going to be awesome. A great thing for the city.
Awesome.
He is Chris Meyer with the Baton Rouge Area Foundation. Got to get you back on in short order, man. You got so much more going on that we haven't even covered today. So we will talk to you soon.
It sounds good. And look, Brian, when we're on that train, you know, you can be on your phone. We can scroll through the giving store. You can find opportunities while you're going back and forth. So, you know, there's just a lot of benefits that are continuing to elevate Baton Rouge, man.
I mean, you almost covered it all. I mean, is there going to be a train stop along the Nicholson corridor? And then you would have had the trifecta. Hey, look, I'll be the first to admit I'm a total hypocrite. I'll stand against it, and then I'm going to use the heck out of it. So there it is. He is Chris Mark.
That's fine.
We'll talk to you soon, man.